So what do you get when you cross a wizened Gen Xer with a proud millennial?
Here we go.
A mixtape filled with
Britney Spears songs?
Or maybe a rotary landline telephone
that takes selfies?
Maybe a Tom and Jerry cartoon.
Or Tom and Jerry each get participation trophies?
No, 21st century solutions.
According to Kaylin and Ramsey.
Well, it is May 18th, 2022. How are you doing today, Kaylin?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I stole Jack's eggs that he was making for himself because they smelled so good.
Oh, man. Stole his eggs. Wow. Yep, that could have gone in so many different directions.
So I'm all proteined up and ready for invigorating conversation this morning.
Oh, well, thank goodness. You'll have the energy to make it through.
Yes. And how about you? I know you had a big weekend running the Capital Half Marathon. So tell us how it went.
Yes. Yes. It was a lot of fun. So I guess it's kind of a big deal. Like in Olympia, they close the streets and there's like a whole bunch of people there. People come from out of town. There's like thousands of people. Olympia is a pretty small town, so doing something like that is pretty cool. A bunch of it. So the first part sort of runs through the city and then it goes kind of off into kind of the boonies for a while. And then it comes back and it runs through a couple of neighborhoods, at the end. So I did pretty well. I was not feeling super strong kind of as the race went by. I was trying to beat 2 hours, and it turns out that they have this guy who runs along, and he's got like this like 2 hours like on a flag, like he's holding a banner like on a stick, so that the 2 hour guy like kept sneaking up behind me, and at one point I'm like, oh man, here's the 2 hour guy. He's coming up on me. And so at one point there was this lady running in front of us who kind of wasn't watching where she was going. And a car was trying to drive by because only half the street was closed. And so the 2 hour guy like ran up real close to like tell her, hey, you know, can you move over? And I'm like, oh no, no, man, you know, you need to stay behind me. You can't be running up in front of me like that. and he's like, oh no, no. I just, oh, I know. I don't know. I just want to hear it. So then like the 2 hour guy was kind of like my Jiminy Cricket after that. And I just like kept him right behind me. But then I was just sort of lagging a little bit with my energy. And so there's this one spot where there's a big downhill and then there's a big uphill after that. So I like told the 2 hour guy, like, all right, I'll see you later. I'll see you on that big hill. Cause I took off running fast down the hill, but sure enough, he caught me on the hill up and I could not keep up. So lost a few minutes on that hill. But I did manage to finish strong. At the end, the last mile of the race is the most fun because it's this little slight downhill and it's a big straightaway, for at least a mile to the finish line. So that felt really good. I got about 2 hours and 4 minutes, at the end. So I was happy. It was good. It was fun. Oh,
so close.
So close. I just could not stick with the 2 hour guy up that hill. Yeah. Miles 10, 11, and 12 are brutal.
Yeah, I bet. And so was your family there waiting for you at the finish line?
Yes. Yep, totally. Yeah, a bunch of our friends were sort of hanging out along the course, people who like lived in sort of that general area. And family was at the finish line, so they cheered for me. There was like through the neighborhood, there's one spot where people like had some like bands set up in their garages, and there was like some people outside with like a keg that were giving away like free beer as you were running. I'm like, it's kind of early, like maybe we'll be back for that.
Don't want to get a tummy ache.
but it was festive. It was a lot of fun, and I did not faint at any point while standing or laying down. So that was clearly an improvement over my 16-mile run 2 weeks previous. So that was good.
Awesome. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate your support. And I think today we're going to talk about credit unions and local banks versus giant mega banks. And I give the listeners one guess where we fall down on which one of those two that we prefer.
Yes. They'll never know. They'll never know.
Yeah, they'll never guess. So anyway, so we have sort of different perspectives because Kaylin, you've been working in the banking world for a big part of your career, and I have not. So, but I have banked. I've been a customer for my adult life. So I think I can give sort of the perspective on what it's like to be a customer of both a mega bank and a community bank. And I think that you can give us the perspective of what it's like to work there. So why don't we start, Kaylin? What was it like to work at a mega bank?
Yes, well, my career in banking started because I was waitressing at a local family diner, which I've said before was my first job. And the summer after I graduated, my mom saw a full-page ad that they were looking for tellers at one of the mega banks that are very well known across the entire country. And I applied, and the assistant manager was like, "I love to hire waitresses, because you guys are great at customer service, you have attention to detail and can count money and do all of the things that are necessary." So it was really the first job interview of my life was with a mega bank, because prior to that I worked at a family friend's diner, and so I slid into that role pretty easily. I was the drive-through teller, which is kind of an interesting place to start your banking journey, because you really get quite the mix of people. I mean, mega banks have quite the mix of people anyways, but you're usually helping the people who are rushed and don't want to take the time to come in. And one of the things of working at a mega bank is that banking is really not your top priority as an employee of a mega bank. Your top priority is sales. And I, walking in at 19 years old, had no idea the sales culture behind mega banks. I obviously know now, and I think the media has done a great job of shining light on that the last several years. And so stepping into that role and having Friday morning sales meetings, and where it's you guys need to get a certain amount of new accounts, a certain amount of credit cards, that was really, I just had no experience with that, and they were very, very pushy. I really, really liked both my manager and my assistant manager. But that was their job, was to be there to make sure that we were hitting our goals that the mega bank had set for us. And I felt very, very intimidated. I did enjoy it. I met great people. I met both working there and or people who worked there as well as customers. But just I was really surprised to see those things. And after I had been there for about 8 or 9 months, I actually transferred to a branch in Phoenix, Arizona, where I was a merchant teller, which is a whole different ball game. So you're just working with with customers who are making deposits for a merchant. And a lot of times they are not even the merchants themselves. They're employees of the merchant. So still expected to hit those sales goals, even though you're not necessarily dealing with customers of the mega bank. So one thing that I experienced doing that was that every Thursday, if I had not gotten a certain amount of accounts, or if I had not gotten a certain amount of checking accounts, I had to stay after every Thursday and make cold calls to customers. Another thing that I was
You need to stay after school.
yes, that's what
Detention
it
is
felt
to make cold calls.
Yes, even though I was great at my job, I was never off balance. I did my job really proficiently, and I enjoyed it. I had great relationships with the merchants and their customers, or their employees. I just wasn't necessarily just akin to that type of forced sales. I just wasn't comfortable. And I saw a lot of things in both branches that I worked at of that bank that later came to light in arbitration and in the media. One of the things that happened on the regular was at the bank in Arizona, there was a drive-through teller who on the weekly would have complaints to our management that she had opened up a credit card or other type of accounts without their permission. And this was a regular thing. And of course, this employee was going on all of the vacations that the bank offered for meeting goals and stuff. And I think everyone just was happy that she was helping them meet their goals as management, and continued to just accept that those customers were getting things that they had not necessarily wanted. So that was just really, really opened
That seems,
my
I'm no expert, but it seems pretty sneaky to open accounts on behalf of other people without their knowledge or desire. It just
Yes.
doesn't quite feel right. I don't know why.
No, absolutely not. So I moved home back to Washington, and ended up going to work for a community business bank, a small community business bank, and completely different experience. Completely different experience. I loved working there. I worked there for 4 years, and that's where I really got a good knowledge base of banking and opening accounts for customers who actually want them.
Just to say legal and lawful accounts, yeah.
Yes. I actually started out as a floating teller there, and then went stationary. And I just loved every minute of it. Business to business is my jam, as you know. That's what our job is here. And it really gave me the foundation for going to work at my next bank. I worked at that bank for a long for. Not a long time, but for 4 years. And those 4 years were a tumultuous 4 years in banking. It was as a lot of small businesses started to have troubles because of the economy in the mid part of the first century, or after the turn of the century. And it was just really, really a hard time in banking. And our customers, through really a lot of them no fault of their own, a lot of them defaulted, and we started to have a lot of losses. And just watching executive management and how much they cared, not just about the keeping customers and making sure loans got paid, but about keeping their employees and making sure that the bank could sustain the amount of employees that they had, and just do everything within their power to raise more funds and keep those doors open. It's going to make me cry because I just enjoy working there so much. Unfortunately, they ended up being taken over by a larger bank. Luckily, it's still a very community-oriented bank, and all of my friends who still work there are very happy. And so it's not a terrible story, but that was hard to see, especially after after Jack and I lost our first son. They really took care of us. They, had people donate vacation time to us and everything. And that's actually why I ended up not going back. I could not go back in branch on the daily face, the same people who I had left, at 8 months pregnant. And they were super understanding of that as well. So, working there at that community business bank versus the mega bank was just a night and day difference. It made me want people to open new accounts. I think that's the difference, is that I felt forced at the other bank, and at the community business bank, I wanted people to open accounts there. I felt like it was the right thing for them to do, and I wanted to offer overdraft protection, and I wanted to offer credit cards where, needed, somebody mentioned they're going on vacation, like, oh, we have this great new rewards points for travel. Those things, they clicked for me when I was in an environment that made it feel safe and natural. So that was really,
What it reminds me of, I don't know if this analogy really fits. Well, you talked about how you were a waitress before. I was like a waiter and a busboy for a while. But my thing about restaurants is I would only ever want to eat at a restaurant where I enjoyed eating the food. It's like, if you don't like eating the food at the restaurant, oh man, like, don't work there. That just sounds like the worst possible thing ever. And also, if like you go into a restaurant and you can just tell that the waiter's like, yeah, that's okay. Or if you ask the question of what's good here and they can't think of anything.
Right.
Like that's what it sounds like. So it sounds like if you're working at a bank where you don't think that the accounts are right for people, it just sounds to me a whole lot like, the special this week, I don't know if you really want to eat that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about what your experience, working at or not working at banking at a mega bank was like?
Yeah. So right after we got married, my wife and I went, found a bank that was close to our house, and it was like sort of a statewide regional bank, and we liked it. So we, brought our money over and set up accounts and stuff, and it was the first time we had joint bank accounts, right? Because we had come from other places, and so we set up that, and then the bank a couple years later got bought out by a national bank. And then another year or two after that, it got bought out again by, a huge mega bank. And we could really tell the difference between sort of how they treated us, and there was a lot of employee turnover each time that the bank got bought out and the branding changed. We could tell that, the employees sort of had different priorities or treated us different, or there was a different vibe. I would never have been able to put my finger on it kind of the same way that you described earlier, but it's very consistent with what you had described, that the priority was no longer on getting us exactly what we needed. The priority was on sales. And then we moved out to Washington, and we were, we had our account at this mega bank. So we kind of figured, at least We know that when we move out to Washington, you can just go to a branch. It's just one, it's all the same giant corporation. This will be an easy, smooth transition. But then when we got there, we discovered that, oh no, we can't transfer your accounts directly. Well, I mean, why not? You're the same bank, right? Oh yeah, but that was on a legacy system because of the purchases, and they didn't actually ever bring all of the accounts and the systems over into our new system. So we're going to need you to go ahead and just close all of your old accounts and open new accounts with us. And of course, we can't really close your accounts directly. You have to do that through the original bank. I don't even remember the details of this story. All I remember is that it was a huge pain. And I feel like it took a year or two to get all of that straightened out because at first it was going to be such a big pain that we didn't do it. At first we just sort of stuck with the accounts that we had previous, and we continued using the online banking and just never had a branch to go into. So that was adequate for a while, I guess, but it wasn't really any fun. And then with our mortgage, so we got a mortgage and we got it sort of through that sort of major bank, and it just felt like they didn't necessarily want us to succeed in the mortgage, and it always felt like there was something going on. It was very sort of dangerous. It felt dangerous, like they were always trying to pull one over on us. And so we really didn't want to sort of stick with that.
What an awful
So,
feeling. I'm sorry you experienced that.
yeah. And it's like all your money.
Right?
It's like
Plus your firstborn.
if you're doing like your major accounts or whatever in the bank, and your mortgage, those are, it's not literally all your money. I mean, hopefully you have other, especially when we were a young married couple, it felt like that was like all our money. And it didn't feel like we were in a trusted place, or that they, were entirely to be trusted. But these days, of course, full disclosure, we work for a credit union. And Kaylin, what is it? How is it different? What is it like? What is it? How is it different to work for a credit union versus working for in the, corporate private banking sector?
Well, I think the biggest difference is that while community banks definitely care about their customers, everything is so centered around members at credit unions because they're members, not customers. Because if you're a credit union, you are member owned, which is why people join them. They were created for unions and have, a lot of them have spun off so that they accept all types of membership, which is what we do. And so a lot of them start with like an original book of membership, which our two credit unions that we are now a part of had two very different, well, no, actually not very different, very similar books of membership to start with, and then opened it up to the public, which is always great because that means the credit union's growing. And I had been
Right.
at a medium business bank prior to coming to the credit union. I had worked there with one of our executive members, and he had coerced me into coming to, it's funny because in banking, It's like you're either a credit union person or you're a bank person, and there's usually not a lot of crossover, which is it, a lot of people who probably aren't in the industry don't realize that, and it's more of a fun thing than like a really like we don't like banks or we don't like credit unions. It's just like, oh, you know, just have that rivalry in anything. And so I came over to the credit union, and I was impressed by all of the things that they do for their members, their community involvement. Our solar program was just launching when I came on, but we were already involved in so many different things, in community solar projects and solar fair and all sorts of different things, to help the community. And then the other thing that is very different is the products, because the products are centered around the member making, the most of their funds and not the credit union making the most of the funds. So it's a very different environment, on both sides, as being an employee and being a member of the credit union. I love how open and honest the credit union is with all the employees. We ourselves went through a merger, and I didn't find that merger to be difficult. I didn't think that we, it wasn't the same as I had been through mergers before. As I said, I was at a larger business bank. I found myself at a larger business bank, not on purpose. It was because we had been bought by a larger bank. And I really felt as though, as employees, we had been lied to. We kind of were made to feel that we were the ones that were making the acquisition of the business bank that we became. So we were under the impression that they were becoming us, and that was not what happened. So that was, I was already there. I was already working there. It wasn't anything that I could change, and I just had to go with it. And it wasn't terrible, especially because our executive was my boss, and he's great. So, but I do have some good stories from that time, and one of them that I'll share is that secret shoppers in big banks, so is pretty common. And when you are a very real person and you're expected to have like a script for if somebody, if you think someone's a secret shopper, I mean, is the script supposed to be for someone who you expect is a secret shopper, or is it for someone who's actually coming in shopping for banks, or for, well, banks, new accounts or HELOC or whatever it is? It is presented to you as this is what you should do, but this is what you definitely need to do if you think it's a secret shopper. Well, my biggest thing was always like, well, what if it's not a secret shopper? And I'm asking them questions like a robot. Like, that is not me. We all know that's not me. I am a real person. I ask questions centered on what the person is asking me and what I feel comfortable with and their body
A
language and all of those
script.
things.
Oh my goodness, a script. Yeah, right. Don't
Yeah,
have a script for this show, that's for sure.
exactly. So one time I had gotten what I thought was a secret shopper, and I did my best that I could without being fake. There was
Hello,
one
I am
question.
here. I would like to do banking.
Yes,
I
exactly.
would like to do banking.
Yes. And we had one specific question that we always had to ask that I thought was just ridiculous. I'm like, that is never how I would ask somebody something like that. And it was like something like, do you have any major purchases planned for over $7,500 in the next 18 months? It was literally that
It's no,
scripted.
it's all about tone of voice. I mean, you could pull that off. You'd be
Right.
like, "Do you have any major purchases planned above $7,500? I don't know, in the next 18 months?"
Something like that. But never find yourself asking that
Right.
in a
This is
natural
your
way.
business. Why?
Exactly. And so we, we had these very set expectations, and we were basically graded on that as a branch. And so one time, so this secret shopper came in. I was pretty sure she was a secret shopper, but she was like, probably a little bit older than my mom and was just like super sweet. And I was like really not sure. And so I was just being as natural and giving her the best service as I felt was appropriate. And her and I had a great conversation, I can talk to people. So I never felt nervous, but I always felt like I was missing something because I wasn't going to look at this script that was literally taped to my computer and go off of it. And I remember when our regional manager got the results and we were reviewing them, and he was like, so she said that you love sweater weather. And I'm like, what? I do not see myself saying, I know I've never said that. I can't see myself saying that. And obviously, I didn't say that because you brought it up. So it was like, even though this was an expectation that was set for us, like you couldn't rely on the secret shopper to give accurate information either. So it just, the whole secret shopper thing and being like graded and assessed on it just felt just wrong to me. And so when I moved over to the credit union, my job, our job is sales, and I'm doing air quotes because you can't see me. I will tell you, air quotes on sales, because it's never been sales. It's been the solar industry needs financing. There wasn't a lot of great financing when we got on the scene until we came on the scene. We obviously have great solar financing. And so I never felt like I was going out to contractors to sell them something. I was going out to fulfill a need that they had. And even, within our branches, I've never seen any kind of like forced sales. Everybody is just really there to look out for the members. Every person that walks into our branch on a daily basis, they know their names. They're there to help them. Probably maybe even have their account numbers memorized or their member numbers memorized. And it's just a completely different atmosphere than working at a mega bank or a large business bank. And I just really, really enjoy working for a credit union where we started, but I don't feel so we are any different than on the credit union level. We still have all those same credit union values, and our number one priority is our customer and making sure they're getting what they want and need. And same with fulfilling our needs of our solar contractors. So Ramsey, I know that you have now switched over to credit union banking yourself. So do you want to share what that feels like from the member side?
Well, yes, it feels like you were describing that the people there, the credit union, they're actually there for the purpose of providing good service to us and good opportunities and for actually doing what makes the most sense for us. And, when I walk into the branch of the credit union now, the people there, well, just the vibe is different. People seem like they actually want to be there, or at the very least, they don't mind being there. They have good days, and the I've had a couple of times where the guy there has, sat like encouraged me. Oh, let's take a look at your accounts, and changed up. When we actually sort of shuffled accounts around, it was for our Indeed actual benefit, and we made more interest in things like that, things that you might expect and want from a financial institution instead of them just trying to sell us a bunch of extras. You know, it seems like the main difference, what we do at the credit union and what we do in general versus something else that we're describing is we're providing a good opportunity. We're helping people to buy things as opposed to straight up selling them something. You know, in terms of our solar lending, our solar easy solar loan is all about enabling people to purchase the solar system of their dreams so that they can become energy independent and so they can save money and, you know, and they can help the environment and for all of those reasons. And, you know, we're never selling that to them. We that's not our job. We don't sell them stuff. We make it so that they are able to purchase what they want to purchase. And likewise with the solar companies that we work with, we're empowering them so that they, so that their customers can make a purchase. You know, we're not trying to sell, hard sell them on you need to use us or you should use us. Instead, it's we're providing an offering to them and showing them the benefits of using it and why and how that makes sense for their business and how it makes a lot of sense for their customers. So, you know, that I think is the main vibe difference is that we're helping people buy stuff instead of trying to straight up sell them things, you know, for our benefit. Instead, it's all for the customer's benefit, which is that is just how I would much rather operate.
Yes. Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, back in the day, credit unions, they didn't feel like they had great access because a lot of credit unions had, you know, one branch set up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Our original branches, some of them were in post offices. So the community around credit unions has really grown over the last 10 or so years. And, you know, now there's shared branching, which really helps. You know, like when I first started working at the credit union, I could go into and I lived about 2 hours away. 3 hours with traffic usually. So it wasn't like I could just go and take money out of the bank if I needed cash or something. But we had those shared branches that I could walk into with my member number and my ID, and they treated me just like I was their member because they were happy that you're doing your banking and financial servicing at a credit union. And I've never had a shared branch ever try to like sell me on their credit union or anything like that, because they know that just having you at a credit union is for the greater good. And I think that's a huge difference. Banks would never trust each other to take care of their other their customers.
Well, what would you tell people who are considering a change and considering maybe switching to a credit union or a community bank? What kind of advice would you give?
Yeah, I would tell them to look for a credit union that aligns with their values. So a lot of credit unions, you know, are driven by a set of values. And like ours is, you know, clean energy at this point, which is really exciting for us. And so if you find a credit union that, you know, shares in your values, that's going to make banking there a positive experience. We like to say that our tellers and our member services are member centric. I think we coined that term. I've never heard it before coming here. And member centric is a great way to put it. You know, they're always thinking of the member first, making sure they're protected, making sure that they have the best service possible, and that you know, they have everything they need from us. They don't have to walk out the door and go somewhere else to get it. And I think that that's really important for the consumer's peace of mind is being able to count on and trust your financial servicing to someone who actually cares about you.
Yeah. And credit unions can basically do all the same things as banks, right? And they're also insured. Your deposits are insured the same way that they are at banks, right? So, you've got all of your bases covered that way too. Full service and secure in those same ways.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And then you have the added benefit of shared branching, which could put you anywhere in the country and be
Huge.
able to go into a actual branch and be able to take out your money or deposit your money. And so it really actually is almost better than it is better, not almost, it is better than banking, because you're stuck to that one financial institution. And I think that says a lot about credit unions just in general, that they're willing to help other credit unions members.
Yeah, well, that shared banking really comes in handy, I'll bet, when you're pulling your house behind you down the
Yes,
highway.
very true. Very true.
Oh, man. Well, good stuff. I know I'm sticking with the credit union.
Yeah, I just think, look at your situation, what makes sense for you, and if making a change, if you're not already at a credit union, makes sense, do it. Google those local credit unions and figure out which one suits you best and make that move.
Fantastic. Well, hey, that's all the time we got. Thanks a bunch. Good talking to you, and talk again soon.
All right. Thank you. Have a good afternoon.